Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
An Erio's original.
I know this is not the worst part, but when you said like he blamed his dog, I'm like, geez, man, you blame your dog for like a fart. You don't blame your dog for the decaying body.
It's like, so what a like it's so disgusting.
I don't know why, but that made me hate him even more.
Yeah. Welcome to The Margaret Show, where we talk to people you know and people you should know. We are in the middle of Mortal Minority Month, and today we talk to a friend of the show, Robin Tran, about Joji Obara and the murder of Lucy Blackman.
Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark.
So thanks for coming back. You were actually on our first Mortal Minorities.
Oh, was I the first?
Yeah,
wow, okay.
So now you're our first return guest from Mortal Minorities.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
This is really cool. And so this case that we're going to talk about today, this case is kind of a little bit of a different take on the Mortal Minorities because it's about a Korean man who is a murderer who was living in Japan.
Oh, okay.
So he was a minority in Korea.
Okay, wow.
Because there are quite a lot of Koreans in Japan, but I know that there is a history of difficulty for Koreans in Japan because of, you know, like the cultural sort of like animosity that they have from all of the wars and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely a minority, but also this case is interesting. And it's about a name. His name is Joji Obara.
Okay.
And this is a crime that happened in 2001, but it also happened, he also murdered another woman before that. And before that, he was like a serial rapist. He would drug women and rape them.
Oh, terrible. Okay.
Really terrible.
Wow.
So here's the story of him. Obara was born to Korean parents in Japan who became very wealthy through real estate and pachinko parlors. Have you ever played pachinko?
No, I don't think I have.
It's kind of like a slot machine, but it's also looks a little like a pinball machine.
Is it like there's a Price is Right game, Plinko? Is it the same? You could drop a thing down?
I think it's similar. Well, it's structured kind of like that, but it's for gambling in Japan. And I think that when you win, though, you don't win cash. I think you win prizes.
Oh, okay.
That you could either maybe sell for cash. But it's a big deal in Japan. Like whenever I'm there, I like walk around and you can hear like the ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
in,
right.
In like places. You know, Asians love to gamble.
Right. Yes, they certainly do. Right.
We do. Does your family gamble?
Oh, my God. So much. And also, we don't have the money to gamble. Mm. So it's a bummer when, you know, like a basketball team loses. Like, oh, I guess we can't pay rent this month.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like that was when I was younger, though. Yeah. But yeah, my family loved gambling.
Would they go to like a casino or would they gamble?
No, like at home, like bookies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And you know that Chinese New Year game with like the crab and the lobster? You know, like you roll the dice. And then you put money on one of the animals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so we would do that a lot on like Chinese New Year. Like, yeah, a lot of gambling.
Yeah, my family were blackjack dealers.
Oh, wow, really?
In Reno.
Oh, wow.
And so, and I remember like my aunts and my uncles coming home and they would have the little like bow ties and their vests and little tuxedo things. And they were always very tired and they smelled like cigarettes.
Oh, really?
And so we are, as a family, we're never allowed to gamble because they're like, the house always wins.
Oh, okay, and, yeah, right.
You know, being the blackjack dealers, they would see all of the devastation it would like wreak on all the Asian people that they were, you know,
right,
helping gamble.
Yeah, it's funny, like the car ride to Vegas and the car ride back is always very different.
Yeah.
The tone in the car is always excitement, and then the way back, everyone's really bummed out, you know?
Yeah. I've never gambled myself just because of the my family history, but have you gambled?
Oh, yeah. Like, especially when I didn't have, like, it's, you know, when I was really broke, I would gamble a lot because, like, man, maybe this will be like the time that I make some money, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
And so I would just spend like the little paycheck I had, you know, going to like Pechanga, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we would just gamble. I would just do slot machines though. So I was basically just throwing money away.
Mm.
And then like the more I lost, the more I hated myself, which made me gamble more.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's like this whole cycle.
It's a vicious cycle.
Right. Yeah.
I know that like for Pechanga, every time some, like, I mean, like Koreatown, we'll see like a billboard for like Pechanga or
yeah.
Morongo
mm-hmm.
or some of these places, but they have old Asian couples like putting their heads together and smiling. And it's like, Asian people don't touch each other.
That's
it's
right.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah,
don't be
that's
like,
right.
we're not all touching each other.
No, it's true. Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen my parents touch.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't think my parents have ever shaken hands.
Yeah, they've never touched. And yeah. It's like, what do you like? It's so weird when you see these like old Asian people like holding each other really, really close.
Yeah.
It just would never happen.
Yeah. My family was really bad at affection overall.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would only say I love you like if we were in the middle of an argument, and it was always sandwiched between like, why do you do this? I love you, and I hate it when you do that. And it's like, well, why'd you sneak it? Like, you sandwiched I love you and two insults in between, you
right.
know?
They can't, yeah.
They can't just say I love
plain.
You. Right,
no,
yeah.
It has to be, like, in between. Or it has to be, like, a qualification of, like, I love you, but.
Yes, I love you, but, yeah.
This is in the way.
Right, yeah.
So Asian. Okay, so Obaro, yeah, was born to these immigrants who made money through gambling or pachinko parlors. And he was educated at private schools, and he earned a degree in law and politics. At 17, his father died, and so he inherited all of this money from his family. So in the summer of 2000, Lucy Blackman, who was a flight attendant, and she had come from England, she started working at a nightclub in Tokyo as a hostess. And what those is like, you know, when you go and they have like these women that you can talk to. It's not like a stripper and it's not like prostitution,
mm-hmm.
but it's like they have these nightclubs where you can basically just talk to somebody, and they're all different kinds of them. I know when I've been there, like I see there's ones where they especially has like women with tattoos.
Oh, okay.
Or there's women who are European women,
yeah.
or American women,
right.
or Japanese women, or, you know,
yeah.
different types.
And you just talk to them? Like,
you just talk to them, and you get encouraged to go on dates called a dohan, where they'll take you out.
Oh, okay.
And it's not sexual. It's just like these things where they'll take you out to dinner, and,
yeah.
you know, basically it's for company.
Yeah.
It's a very Japanese thing.
Yeah.
Which I think I would find very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Hiring somebody to talk to.
Yeah. Do you know about those Vietnamese coffee shops?
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't know that much about it, but it's like, you go drink coffee and all the women are very scantily clad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Hooters, but like for Vietnamese men to just kind of ogle the women and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like my dad used to go, and I didn't know what it meant when I was a kid, and I would get mad at my mom, like, oh, just let dad drink coffee. But
yeah,
totally,
oh,
it's like totally not what that was. It was.
But is it like, is it the like that with the condensed milk coffee?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Is it boba coffee?
I should have asked my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of coffee were you drinking when you were ogling these women?
Well, that's an interesting thing. It's like you just buy them coffees, or
no? I think you just like drink coffee and just like look at women who are scantily clad, like little, you know, like Vietnamese women and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I would not be comfortable doing, like, I think I, well, anything like that, I would feel like if you're not a sex worker and I'm not paying for sex, I would feel like I wouldn't know where the boundaries are.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's kind of an interesting thing. Although there are these hostess clubs in Japan that have all women clientele, and it's men hosts.
Oh, okay.
And they all have like, they all look like they're in BTS.
Yeah.
You know, because they have like crazy, like beautiful Asian haircuts.
Yeah.
Very architectural haircuts.
Yeah.
And they're all very handsome and beautiful. And then I think, oh, I should do that. I would love that. But then I wouldn't, I don't speak enough Japanese to feel comfortable. And I don't know if they would speak English. Maybe they would. They would try.
Yeah. So this is just for like lonely people that don't want to have sex?
Yeah. I think it's for anybody. I think it's just a kind of a cultural thing where, you know, you could go to one of these places and just have a conversation with somebody.
Wow. Okay.
And I think it has to do with in Japan, everybody's working so much that they don't have time for relationships.
Oh, okay.
And so they'll go in for this kind of stuff. And, you know, also it's a kind of a low risk factor because they're going to be kind to you. They're going to be nice to you.
Right. Yeah.
Because they have to, because you're paying for it.
That's right. Yeah.
But anyway, so Lucy Blackman started to work at one of these hostess clubs. And so she went on a date with the guy in the story, Joji Obara. And she went on a dohan with him. So she was, going on this paid date with him.
Yeah.
And then she went missing.
Oh, no.
So she disappeared. And her parents flew to Japan and started asking about her disappearance, which was at first discounted by the Japanese police, who were suspicious of Western women working as hostesses.
Oh, okay.
Because there was a sort of idea that they're, you know, maybe prostitutes, I guess.
Right.
But they weren't. And other women came forward and told their story that they had woken up with Obara, sore, and with no memory of the previous night.
Oh, no.
So police finally gave in to the pressure and made the connection between Lucy Blackman and Joji Obara. While they arrested him, they went to his house and they found 400 videos of Obara raping passed out women.
Oh, my God.
Which is so horrible. I mean,
400 videos?
400 videos, yeah.
Oh, my God.
In the videos, he was naked except for a Zorro mask. And he kept diaries of what he called his conquests.
Oh, my God.
And he wrote in his diary, "Women are only good for sex. I will lie on them. I will seek revenge. Revenge on the world. I cannot do women who are conscious." I guess that is like a thing of like, he was probably so terrified of women.
Yeah.
That he just couldn't allow them to actually be aware of any kind of sex they were having.
Right, yeah. I guess I didn't register his fear. I just like, man, like this total... like the bitterness, like I wonder what happened to him with women, you know, like just to hate them that much.
It's really awful.
Yeah.
So one video showed him raping Carita Ridgway, who was an Australian model working as a hostess in Tokyo, who had died in 1992 of liver failure. And Obara had gone on a date with her and he brought her to the hospital and she was unconscious and he claimed that she had eaten a bad oyster. But what happened was he had poisoned her with chloroform.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, she never woke up. She was taken off life support, and the family denied request to investigate the circumstances of her death, but it's clear that he killed her.
Right, yeah.
It's awful. So Joji was eventually charged with the murder of Lucy Blackman and of raping other women, and also the manslaughter of Carita Ridgway. Blackman's body was found before the trial began in a cave a few hundred meters from Joji's apartment. So he had lived a marina.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because he had a lot of money and he's like looking out into the water and there was a cave underneath where his house was on the beach. And he had cut her body into pieces
and
encased it in concrete and then put the concrete pieces down there.
Oh my God.
And he had sort of like this smell in his apartment that he explained away by saying that it was his dog. He told the police that his dog had died and that he was somehow preserving it or something.
Oh, that's so gross.
Which is so awful and weird and gross. But so Obara was sentenced to life in prison for all of these charges. He kept appealing. And there's a lot of controversy around this case. I think because it's like you have the juxtaposition of, people coming in from England to try to find their daughter and kind of like one of the customs is Lucy Blackman's father accepted £450,000 from somebody connected to Joji Obara as condolence money, which is semi-common in Japan. He used part of it to start a charity in his daughter's name in the UK. But I didn't really understand that. But I guess like if you're you're convicted of a crime, that you can give somebody money in order to...
What are you paying them off?
Maybe it's not exactly paying them off, but it's something like maybe it's like a civil suit. like that's kind of what happened with O.J. Simpson, you know, because he was acquitted, but yeah. they the families charged him in a civil suit.
Oh, okay.
So they ended up able to claim, I think, some money from him. I mean, I still, that whole O.J. thing is so weird.
It is weird, yeah.
It's so weird that you would get acquitted
right.
for something that you so clearly
yeah.
did.
Yeah, right.
Yet a civil case, I think, is something where you can get some kind of financial compensation. So maybe that is similar to Lucy Blackman's father because he got that money.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, to me, it's such an awful case because it's just, you know, these young women who are just trying to make their way in Tokyo, which is a very vast and incredibly intimidating city.
Yeah.
And here is just this man preying on them.
Right, yeah. Hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Like 400. Oh, my God.
It's really awful.
Yeah, and you said he wore a Zorro mask?
He wore a Zorro mask.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if they're unconscious, they wouldn't have seen it. But I guess it's for the video purposes. Yeah. To make him seem cool, feel like he's cool.
That's so weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get a mask on an Asian face.
That's right, yeah.
I've never, because my eye skin pokes out. Have you ever worn a mask?
Yeah, like when I was, for like Halloween, I wear like a clown mask or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the depressions of the mask, they don't accommodate our Asian eye shape.
No, I think that's true, yeah.
It's so weird.
It is weird, yeah.
Like, it's hard to wear a mask if you're Asian.
It is.
So I don't know why he would choose to.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, this kind of thing is so scary. I've never been drugged. I've drugged myself.
Right.
But I've never had a situation where I felt like somebody drugged me. I think that's like a really awful.
No, that sounds terrible. To wake up like disoriented and
yeah.
in pain and not know what it was.
And not be sure. And yeah. then you're like, kind of like, did I do this to myself?
Right, yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it is hazardous to be a woman, you know, don't you
right.
think?
Like, yeah, it's absolutely, like yeah.
a terrifying thing sometimes.
It is. Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, there's just so much that can happen.
Right. Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I think nothing bad has ever happened to me. But I remember, like, it was before I transitioned and a guy after a show, like, kept remembering my jokes. And I wasn't mm-hmm. even, like, famous or anything. I was like, okay, is he being nice or is he, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of mm-hmm. weird. And then he followed me to my car.
Oh, no.
No, but he was just a weird, nice guy.
Yeah.
But I had this feeling, like, I bet you this is what women have to deal with, like, all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And just, like, nothing even happened, but... And then I don't know. And after I transitioned, I just felt more unsafe walking around. And
yeah,
because like a lot of guys in the comedy scene got kind of weird. Like one guy just like asked me like if I wanted to dance with him on the down low. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, now I have to avoid this guy for like the rest of my life.
That's you know? So weird.
And then I saw him at like an open mic and he just came up and introduced me like it never happened.
Oh.
So I acted like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, it's weird being a woman. Like,
yeah,
because like you never know if a guy is being nice or creepy or like,
right.
And like you don't want to come off presumptuous, like, oh, am I arrogant that he thinks I'm attractive? But then, like,
yeah,
because of that, like, something bad can happen to you, you know, because
yeah,
you're trying to be nice or whatever, you know,
right? But that's the thing, it's like we can't give in to these like societal pressures to be nice,
right? Yeah,
your safety is so much more important than this idea of politeness,
yes, yeah. Well, actually, I don't really, I'm not even dressed up right now, like, I have no makeup on and I'm not wearing a dress because, like, I don't know, it's just like. It just feels like not as safe when I'm like even in LA, you know, and mm-hmm. no one's even really harassed me. Like every now and then, like people will look at me and I'm like, are they looking at me because I look weird or are they checking me out? And it's just like when you dress up like a guy, you're more like invisible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like women just get looked at more, like right. for whatever reason, like,
yeah.
Oh my God, do I hate her? Do I want to have sex with her? I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
but just to be, you know, put to that, like, that scrutiny, which is constant if you're a woman.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter it like what context you're in. It's like there is always that gaze.
Right.
There's always that sort of opinion of something.
Right.
And it's just a weird, it's just a weird thing that we think of women's bodies somehow as public space.
Yes. Oh my God. That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden the way I looked at, when I transitioned, all of a sudden the way I looked became super important to everybody.
Right.
No one cared before. Are we allowed to curse on this thing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like no one gave a fuck before.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it, I mean, part of it is trans, but like, you know, I don't see, I come out as a trans woman and I put up a video I put up a video on Reddit the other day. I got a bunch of upvotes, and I just see there's 144 comments. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be fun to read, you know?
Yeah.
And 80% of the comments were about, like, so is she a guy or is she a girl? Like, mm-hmm. and it's like, why do you care? Is the joke funny, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just realized that, like, all of a sudden the way I looked became super important all of a sudden, yeah. you know? And it just became distracting because, like, sometimes I just want to do a new joke, but... If I'm dressed up, it's like, well, I got to talk about the way I look now. Because mm-hmm. if I don't, then people ask me, hey, I hope you didn't talk about the way you look, right?
Right.
So, yeah, that's very annoying and frustrating.
And also, like, who do these people think they are that they can comment on it? Right. But it's like, you know, like, I'm trying to work on this new joke in my act about how this sort of difference between gender. And it to me, what it is that... Dick is a thing, pussy is a place.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like you're kind of dealing with the political ramifications of that
right.
all the time.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's a weird thing. Like I'm doing a lot of dating online now and it's like so weird how much they ask for nude photographs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't even I find that really, really hard to take because I don't have a selfie stick.
Right.
And also, why?
Right. Like, and, who are you to ask me that, right?
Yeah.
Like, and, what did you do to, like, earn that?
And what is the point of that, too? Yeah.
I think it's like, guys feel powerful. Like, mm-hmm. I got her to give me a nude, and I can just, you know, I can masturbate to it and feel like, wow, she gave me that. Or, you know, like, right. the feeling of power over women, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird thing to request it as is. If like, well, this, you're going to get this. I mean, and then also it's like they're, you know, like if you don't know them, it's like, well, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
Picture?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Are you going to show your friends?
Or right.
Gonna,
of course
yeah.
they are.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, it's something that they always do. I mean, right. you know, it's like the internet is flooded with, you know, lots of women who unintentionally are out there because they've sent nudes to people. You know, it's
oh,
like
absolutely.
A weird, it's such a weird
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And I don't really care like who sees my body or who doesn't see my body. It's not even that. It's like, well, why is that somehow a, like commerce? That,
right.
Like, this is our exchange. It's like, you're going to give me this and I'm going to give you this. It's like,
yeah.
I don't want a dick pic.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't yeah. want
why,
that.
Why can't we just have a conversation?
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Right.
It just turns into like a dick pic or nudes like really quickly.
Really
right?
quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't mind. I mean, sex is, you know, whatever. Like, I am down to have sex with people. It doesn't really matter to me. But it's just like the nudes thing. I'm like, well, I don't know why that has become such a commodity.
Yeah.
That's about trading. And it really has to do with this kind of value that we put on women's bodies that separates them from who they are as people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think so too.
You know?
Yeah, well, there's also, I don't know, I mean, I guess it's all speculation, but, you know, there's more sex positivity out there, right, nowadays? Mm-hmm. And then we also have this technology where, like, everyone is sharing everything.
Right.
So I think people have this idea, like, maybe, like, well, you know, we're all sex positive, so like, hey, maybe if I ask for everyone for nudes, someone will give me some nudes, right?
Yeah.
Because like everyone is everybody's now, or you know, like I'm right. maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I see it. Or like maybe guys will like use I think guys even use like feminism as like a way to ask for pictures. Like,
yeah,
aren't we sex positive now? Like, yeah. I'm a feminist, and I think if you sent me a nude,
right,
I'm one of the good guys. Like, I'm yeah. not, you know, like, so I think, like, I'm not slut shaming, right?
Right.
Like, they find like new ways to try to get laid.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm a male feminist or
it's
whatever.
It's such a weird, yeah, that's such a weird thing, and like kind of a consequence of sort of like modern interactions.
Yeah, right.
You know, and like talking about sex and sexuality and, you know, so that it's such a, yeah, it's so weird. It's super weird. But then you, you know, you have like a culture who has grown up with technology,
yeah,
and these ideas of like, we've got to exchange, you know, these photographs,
yeah,
somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we also live in a very gig economy now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing like Lyft and Uber and Amazon delivery and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, I have a lot of friends who are like, they're broke. They're like, oh, I just sell pictures of my feet online now. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I don't, I mean, I'm not judging anyone, you know, like,
yeah,
if I had nice feet, I'd do it. I'm broke, you know, I'd sell pictures of my feet online if they weren't gross, you know? So I think a part of it is that too, like, we're just like selling anything we can now for money because everyone's broke, if that makes sense. I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is kind of the same thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I could sell pictures of my feet. I don't know what that's about either, too, because it's like, why would you want pictures of that? Like, it's, to me, it's like, you know, it's the sort of sectioning off of parts of the body that becomes somehow more valuable than the person in their entirety.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I don't want to kink shame anybody, but I don't get it. Yeah, right.
I mean, kinkiness is kinkiness. It's fine. You know, that's all well and good. I do enjoy a spot of foot worship myself.
Okay.
And I will happily accept a pedicure from a paying fan admirer. But it's like, you know, to me, it also separates the feet from the body.
I agree with that.
Nudes sort of separate the body from the person.
Right, yeah.
You know, I would prefer maybe like if they wanted my chart. Like, I'll give you what my rising sign and the time I was born. I'll give you the time that I was born, then you can do all that. That's deeper work, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And much more insightful.
Yeah, it'd be weird if they masturbated to that, though. If you just gave
them... they're my ascendant.
You were born at what time now?
I mean, that to me is like, well, I think that would be more worthwhile. This is the thing guys ask for. They ask for nudes, and then they ask if I squirt.
Oh, my God, really? Like, oh, geez.
Well, no for the nudes. And then, no, I don't squirt. I mean, I don't know if I squirt. Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's, why is that somehow a value in itself, too?
I don't know. Or do they, like, see it as an accomplishment if they make someone squirt?
I think so, because it's kind of like this. I think squirting is the only thing that they can relate to.
That looks like
sexually,
coming?
That's like that looks like coming.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's almost like it looks like ejaculation, which it is female ejaculation.
Yeah.
So it that's what they can get down with. Like, okay, as long as there's a physical sign that I can have something for my effort.
Right, yeah. I don't know, guys like are very into their own egos when they have sex.
Yeah.
Even when they think that they're being well-intentioned. I don't have experience with this, but I just know like, oh my God, did you come? But it's not like they care if you came. It's more like, did I make you come?
Right.
Because if I didn't, then I'm not a man, you know? And so they put all this pressure. So it's like, if you squirt, it's like, they're not happy for you.
Right.
Like, look, I did that shit, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They want to claim ownership of that. And I think that's partially why Joji Obara had all of these videos, because he wanted to claim ownership of these women and their bodies and eventually their lives, like in Lucy and Karita.
Right.
But it is like this thing of like, we want to claim sort of dominion over this. But yeah, orgasms like for men are like, they really value women having orgasms, but it's got to be in the way that they sort of dictate.
That's right, yeah.
Which is such a weird thing, too.
It is weird, yeah.
You know?
What is like, what, penis and vagina sex,
and vagina sex, like, that's the only sort of viable thing. I mean, maybe if they eat you out or something, that's supposed to be, like, good, too, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're sort of very, very attached to this idea of what porn looks like.
Right, right, right.
To them. So squirting is a thing, and penis-vagina intercourse sex.
Right, yeah.
Is a thing.
Yeah. That's not the kind of porn I watch, but I mean, hey, whatever floats your boat.
Well, the kind of porn that I watch, this is my favorite. This is what I want to do with somebody is I want to take their computer and I want to put in letters on the bar on
oh,
top
no.
so that it's like a roulette.
Yeah.
So whatever porn comes up.
Right.
And so I'll do A, B, C, D, and then they'll do numbers. And just to sort of like do like a roulette. I think that's a good game.
That's really funny. Yeah.
Because when you find out what porn somebody watches, then you kind of know them.
Right. Yeah. I will not share what kind of porn I like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe off the air. But but yeah, I like a lot of foreplay and kissing.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. I don't know if it's nice. I just like, I don't think I'm great at the sex itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at like building the tension.
Mm.
And then once the tension is like released, it's like, well, you're going to get a really bad lay. You know, like
mm-hmm.
it was like 6 months of tension. And now like I'm going to be really bad at this part. So I think... Like my porn, like the foreplay lasts so long. Your dog is so cute. The foreplay lasts so long that one time I ordered some Postmates.
Uh-huh.
And the Postmates got to the place before they started having sex.
Oh.
So I had to like pause the porn and I'm just eating this poke bowl with this erection. Like,
oh, that's great.
I mean, just, yeah, the porn, like I like to pretend that it's not porn that I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
So that after 15 minutes and they start having sex, I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is porn.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
good.
Trick my brain into thinking like it's not porn. But yeah, sex itself has always made me feel kind of weird. I don't know why.
I like
flirting and I like, you know, just talking and stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't. Yeah, the sex itself has always been weird to me.
The kind of porn that I like is like I like this really weird Korean porn where it was sort of more like a romantic movie where it was just them meeting in coffee shops and then they would like be one would be late.
Yeah.
And so the other one would just be sitting there thinking about all the things that they did.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like mostly them waiting, but it was also they would be having sex, but only like in small pieces. And then they would like get interrupted by the waiter and then they have to order. So I really liked that porn. That
That's
was really
great.
Good.
That's really cool.
And then I liked another. Oh, this is the kind of porn I like. I like porns where you have to work off a debt, which is very Japanese. So it's debtor driven porn.
Yeah.
And there was one really good one where this woman had to work off the debts of her parents.
Okay.
For their contracting company.
Yeah.
So she was undertaking a lot of their bad financial decisions.
Okay.
And so she had to work it off sexually.
Yeah.
And so they were doing this thing where they were doing the bridal like kind of a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
And her mom had to count her asshole wrinkles as one of the games and then the guests were guessing.
Yeah.
So that was a really good porn too.
Okay, that's cool. That's really involved. Very
but
involved.
I love like a debt like fiduciary beneficiary debtor kind of a porn that has like financial ramifications that sometimes involve your parents.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll share some. Like
yeah.
I there is trans porn has like really very specific titles.
Mm-hmm.
There is a kind of porn called Surprise I Have a Dick.
Oh,
and
uh-huh.
and it's just like a guy hooking up with a woman and then he sees that she has a penis and he's like, "Whoa, I don't know about this."
Uh-huh.
And then he does it anyway.
Mm.
And I'm turned on by like, oh wow, he didn't even like murder her. Like that's
yeah.
And
good.
I'm like that turns me
good,
on.
Yeah.
Like, this guy didn't. I know that's the dark thing to say.
No, but that's
but
I mean,
I get off on like, oh man, someone like would is accepting of that.
That should be.
It's
they
so weird
be.
That I get off on like very emotional things when I'm watching porn.
Well yeah.
Like sometimes like I'll just type in I love you in the porn bar.
Well, that's nice.
And sometimes I come because someone said I love you. And it's like
aww.
No, people think it's wholesome, but I think is weird.
No, well, it is. The thing is that sex is like that's what the function is. It's to express love.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the functions, but it gets that's why there's so many different ways to have sex because people define that in different ways.
Yeah.
And I like a bastinado porn.
What's
where
that?
Is when they beat the bottoms of your feet.
Oh, okay.
And so that takes many different forms. Because I do appreciate like a nice like a BDSM thing. Like I'll have relationships where it's pain only. And that's kind of fun.
Oh, okay.
Where it's very clear. Like all you're gonna do, we're not gonna kiss.
Yeah.
We're not gonna go on dates. You're just gonna come over and beat the bottoms of my feet.
Oh wow. Okay.
and then leave after 50 minutes. I like to do it like a therapy hour, like 50 minutes is usually like the time limit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do like those kinds of exchanges and that kind of porn.
Oh, okay. You know, I've watched almost completely like lesbian kissing is almost like completely everything I have a kissing fetish actually. Yeah. So like I like flirting and making out more than sex.
Yeah,
like I always have. But like people think like, oh, that's so sweet. But I'm like, no, I get turned on by kissing, yeah. Right? So like I don't even have to like actually have sex. Like I actually like to kiss and then masturbate.
That's
while
good.
I'm being made out with, you know?
Yeah.
But I think people think like, oh, that's so sweet. But I think it's weird that like I get turned on like physically with something that people think is as foreplay.
Or it's like on the journey to, but it's not the destination.
Yeah, you know what it was? I saw like Ellen DeGeneres, like she like it was on her show Ellen, and she kissed one of the other women on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like I never got that turned on before in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I think my whole life has been chasing that high.
Mm.
And I remember thinking as a kid, I'm like, man, I wish I was a lesbian. You know, like
yeah.
That's my goal, and like more than comedy. And so when I found out you can just come out as trans, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, awesome! I can be a lesbian
yeah.
now. You know, and just get turned on by the thought that I'm a lesbian. Sometimes, right.
Right. Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think lesbian sex is like one of the great joys in life.
Yeah.
Like it's so powerful and yeah. so very, very special.
Yeah. It's a lot more sensual, right? There's a lot yeah. more feeling and yeah, like touching and stuff.
It's a lot going on because you also feel like you can take over the world. It's so empowering.
Yeah.
It's
right.
really intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't watch like hetero porn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to act like someone's overcoming adversity in my porn.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's good. You have like an activist spirit looking towards that. I mean, that's good.
Yeah,
right. But it is. It's like there's all these different things that we can take from sexuality and porn and what turns us on to sort of have a more deeper understanding
yeah.
of who we are.
Right. Yeah. Like and the more like activist-y it is, the more turned on I get. So it's like, ooh, this is like lesbian interracial porn. Like
oh, yeah,
we're
yeah.
overcoming homophobia and racism in one
yeah.
sexual scene. Like why can't everyone be like this?
I
right?
love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that it's also when it's like also porn made by women.
Yeah, right.
You know, so there's like a feminist through line.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that like feminist porn, like the acting is a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the acting in like men porn is like this is just like something that happened before the sex, you know, like
mm-hmm.
they kind of gloss over my favorite part of porn, which is the foreplay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the main event. I mean, I think like that's what I really do like about sex too. Is I do like kissing and I do like making out. Like that could even be it unto itself.
Yeah.
You know, that's almost all you need in a lot of ways.
Right.
It depends. But it's like, I think it's whatever you like. And like knowing that you like that is really empowering.
Right. Well, I mean, okay. So like I was a virgin till I was like 26 or 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like there were certain women I was with like where we would make out and I would dry hump them
mm-hmm.
until I just came like inside of my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking like, well, one day I gotta have sex, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I started having sex and I liked it, but I'm like, now I'm back to like what I was when I was like 17.
Yeah.
Where my favorite thing is I just like to make out and dry hump until I
right.
come. Because I'm also kind of a germaphobe. So it's like I hate cleaning up my own cum afterwards. Like after I come, I'm like, gotta get a towel.
Like
when I come in my pants, like, okay, just put my underwear in the fucking hamper, you know?
Right.
And so like a lot of it is just like, I mean, I like coming, but I don't know if I like the whole, like, sex is like this whole ordeal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta take off your clothes. I don't even like to go clothes shopping. Gotta go into the
dressing
room and
take
off your clothes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is it's too much work. I'm like, too lazy for it. Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
It is. I hate trying stuff on.
Yeah.
I just buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I eyeball stuff and I just buy it.
Yeah, right. So I was thinking, like, I know this is not the point of that horrible, like, man that we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, man, he's like, that guy worked really hard to be a piece of shit
He really did. I mean, he was such a piece of shit. Like, but he had the money and the, I guess, the time.
The time. That was what I was thinking. Like, who has the time to do any of this stuff?
I know.
Right?
Yeah. And like, yeah, to film, you know, to get these women, to drug them,
yeah,
to film them, rape them, and then either kill them or take them back or whatever.
Right.
It's all hideous.
I know. And then I know this is not the the worst part, but when you said like he blamed his dog, I'm like, geez, man. You blame,
I know.
You blame your dog for like a fart. You don't blame your dog for the decaying body.
It's
like,
so
what a like
it's so disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that made me hate him even more.
Yeah,
in a weird
it's
way.
Horrible. And all of the I read a book about this particular murder and all of the trauma that the family went through in dealing with it. And the mom had a lot of problems, you know, with her the loss of her daughter. And if she would hear like a saw outside,
oh my god,
she would like really have like a nervous breakdown.
Oh no, that's so terrible.
You know, because she would think about her daughter's body,
right?
And
yeah,
everything. So she did this form of therapy called EMDR, which I've actually done for PTSD.
Yeah,
which she said really helped, and I stand by that too. I mean, I don't do therapy right now, but it's something that's really helped me.
Yeah, my friend's doing that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is it? Like something with your eyes?
It's something with your eyes, but it's sort of like you do, you sort of work with eye movements and also the triggering of really upsetting memory.
Right.
And it somehow helps you kind of create a distance between yourself and the trauma in a way that's really meaningful.
Oh, okay.
But also not like hugely into talk therapy. Like,
sometimes
talk therapy really kind of gets to me and I get really exhausted.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, me too.
So I like something that's kind of almost mechanical that's a little bit impersonal.
Right.
So I feel like EMDR is a lot of that.
Yeah.
Where it just sort of goes in and it kind of presses record over like a shitty thing that you don't want to deal with.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, it doesn't erase it entirely, but it does erase a lot of the emotional charge of the PTSD.
Yeah. You know, so I recently got on like the right medication like in October, and my brain is like clear for the first time in my whole life.
Yeah.
So I'm able to like look back at my trauma like objectively instead of like emotionally.
That's good.
And this is what was so horrifying is like actually looking at it objectively is even worse than experiencing it like emotionally, because I'm like, wow, that actually was objectively really fucked up what happened to me, you know? So like I'm still processing all that.
Mm-hmm.
I probably need to go back to therapy because like I guess like I didn't know how fucked up things were until I am not fucked up anymore, if that makes sense, right? So
so
is it like to be able to look at your trauma like outside of how you feel about it, I think is really important.
It's really important. Yeah, and I do love therapy, and I've spent a lot of time in therapy, but right now I'm in a phase of like I don't want to examine.
Yeah.
Because I've spent so much time doing that.
I also like hate, man, like they would always like switch therapists on me, you know, like one would quit and I'm like, oh great, I gotta go another like therapy 101, like okay, well my dad did this and
you
my mom, like I've done this 6 times now and it's almost like I'm bored by this point.
Yeah,
like can we just get to the part where it's my dad's fault, like can we just skip like 2 months of therapy, it was my dad, yeah we get it, right? Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it is quite exhausting to like uptake all of the shit that you had to sort of go through for another therapist to process.
Yeah. And you know what was the worst part of therapy for me was like, I talk about all these traumatic moments and I wouldn't cry at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, there's like 10 minutes left and you kind of run out of things to talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
So like I bring up like something like really small, like, you know, when I was a kid, I would just like tell people like the plots of TV shows and then they would get bored and walk away. It just like a little memory. And she goes like, it sounds like you were just trying to make a connection, and like just tears.
Oh.
I'm like, oh my God, this is what made me cry. This I hate it when you like you find out something that you didn't know was traumatic.
Yeah,
right? Because it just seems like such a small deal,
right?
I always felt like those were the most traumatic moments. It was like just like not being seen.
Yeah,
and there's a really weird specific thing that happened to you.
Yeah. And then that, but that's also very meaningful too, finding out those moments,
right? Yeah,
then it can give you insight,
yeah,
and everything else.
Yeah, it's right. Good.
Well, thank you, Robin.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love hanging out with you, and thank you for talking about this case with me.
Of course, yeah.
And thanks to Tracy for did the research on this. There's a great book. It's called People Who Eat Darkness by Richard Lloyd Perry, all about this case. I believe that Tracy got the information of this probably on Wikipedia online somewhere, but it's a really interesting examination of this particular story, and I don't know, I just wanted to share this with you. So where can people find out about where you're going to be performing and what are you doing?
Okay, well right now I'm just like If you just find me on Instagram, RobinTran04, and Twitter and RobinTran04, I don't have a lot of shows coming up, but I've been posting a lot of my videos online and stuff. I'm trying to do more of the, you know, the mechanical parts of stand-up that I've always been bad at. So, yeah, I have a bunch of my comedy clips on my Instagram.
Oh, great.
RobinTran04.
Yes, Robin is a really, really funny comedian, so you should go see her and see her social on the socials.
Yeah. On the socials. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My dreams, waking me out of my sleep.
I think I'm coming apart. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.